We think of coding and programming, the traditional approach, as we give a computer a set of instructions. We tell it step by step what we want it to do. Machine learning is an alternative way of doing that. Instead of telling the computer how we want it to do the job, we give it examples of that job being done. So we show it the thing we want it to do over and over and over again.
Welcome to Kids Lab, a podcast for parents, educators, and everybody interested in STEAM education. Today we're talking to Dale Lane, the creator of Machine Learning for Kids, an extension to Scratch that allows kids to train their own machine learning models and use them in their Scratch programs. So as Dale writes on his website, he's a father of two exhausting kids, a software developer for IBM in the UK, a mobile and gadget obsessive, a charity trustee, and an all-around geek. Dale is with IBM for more than 16 years now. During his career, he came across many of IBM's artificial intelligence and machine learning offerings, such as IBM Watson. While his work at IBM most definitely prepared him to build something like machine learning for kids, this educational offering was built entirely in his free time. So what exactly is machine learning for kids? It allows kids to train their own machine learning models to recognize text, numbers, images, or sounds. Just years ago, this was only possible for developers with specialized knowledge. Making this learning available to kids is absolutely phenomenal. The trained models can later be used in Scratch, which then combines machine learning with visual block-based coding. After integrating with Scratch, kids can simply drag visual code blocks into the editor to make use of the machine learning models. Machine Learning for Kids started as a coding tool that Dale created for local schools near his home in the UK, and now has turned into one of the most used IBM activity kits ever. In 2018, Dale was awarded the IBM Volunteer Excellence Award, the highest form of volunteer recognition given by the company. So be sure to visit kidslab.dev for the show notes of this episode. Besides all the links mentioned, I also added a few screenshots of Machine Learning for Kids in action to give you a quick visual overview. All right, welcome Dale. Happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
So Dale, I think the biggest question for most listeners will be, what really is machine learning? I really bet that a lot of people out there, a lot of parents haven't heard about it. They don't know what it is. So can you give us a quick intro to machine learning?
Yeah, sure. So machine learning is one way we have of getting a computer to do something. And we think of coding and programming, the traditional approach, as we give a computer a set of instructions. We tell it step by step what we want it to do. Machine learning is an alternative way of doing that. Instead of telling the computer how we want it to do the job, we give it examples of that job being done. So we show it the thing we want it to do over and over and over again, so that we can allow the machine to learn from those examples how to do that job for itself.
Right. I know a lot of AI systems are in the visual area when it comes to image recognition, for example. How would the traditional way of writing a program that's, for example, detecting a car that's standing in my parking lot look like versus the ML wave?
Yeah. So if you were going to try to write something that recognized, like you say, a photo of a car as a set of rules, that'd be a really hard thing to do. You'd have to describe the colors, the brightness, the shapes. You know, if this pixel looks like this and the pixel next to it looks like that, then it means it's a car. Like the rules that would cover every different type of car would be almost impossible to try and write. So that's a really good example of where machine learning works better. So if you want a computer to be able to, given a photo, recognize the object that's in the photo, collect a lot of examples of that type of object, so a lot of examples of photos of cars, and the computer can start to learn what those photos have in common. It can see patterns in large amounts of data and use those patterns so that it can do that job of, given a photo, recognize what's in it.
Do you have some other examples for machine learning? So let's say some examples in the textual area, for example, or other applications that are probably very prominent in today's life already?
I mean, we probably use machine learning applications all the time. I mean, a lot of the time they're fairly subtle and fairly hidden. I guess perhaps the best known example is spam filters for your email. You know, recognizing if the contents of an email that you've received looks like spam or not, so that you never have to see the spam ones. That's a great machine learning task, because it's, you know, we can collect large numbers of examples of real emails and large numbers of examples of spam ones and use that to train a computer to start to learn to spot them. But even smaller things like the predictive text on your phone keyboard, you know, the more you write, you're training a machine learning model to be able to predict, given what you've typed so far, what are you likely to type next? So, you know, as you use your phone, as you type sentences, you're training it so that it can help you, so that it can predict what's the most next likely word you're going to want to use.
I think that really explains why ML is so important these days, right? So we're really surrounded by it. And very often, like on our smartphones or so, we might not even know it on a day-to-day basis, actually, because we're just so immersed into it, actually. So let's dive into ML for Kids, I would say. After signing up on the website, I can then create a new project, or kids can create actually a new project, right? And they can choose between a text, image, number, or sound-based ML model. Can you give us a couple of examples for those ML models and what we can recognize with these different types of models?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, let's start with text. So conceptually, sort of visually, the site lets you create buckets that you're going to collect your training examples in, and you can have as many of them as you want. So, you know, I mentioned before that spam filters is a good example of a machine learning project. So you could create two buckets and then put examples of real emails in one bucket and examples of spam emails in another bucket, so that you're training a machine learning model to recognize the use of language. Now, emails isn't something that young kids in particular are really going to be that. It's not going to resonate with them because a lot of young kids don't receive and send emails. So there are other sort of examples that we can do that make it a bit more real for them. I mean, one of the first projects I ever wrote, and that is still, I think, one of the most popular ones on the site, is to train a sentiment analysis model. So basically, I get the kids to create two buckets, one bucket with the kindest, nicest compliments they can think of. They write examples in there of the nice things they'd say to their best friends and the compliments they wish they could get themselves. And then another bucket, they fill it with insults, the meanest, cruelest, nastiest things they can think of. Which has gone badly for me before. And what they're doing is they're training a machine learning model to learn from those examples, to learn from the patterns in the examples they write, so that when you give it a new piece of text, it has been trained to recognize, to predict, does that look like a compliment or does it look like an insult?
Yeah, that's a great example, really. I really bet that the kids will have lots of fun doing that, right? And it's also, you know, they don't have to write like long pieces of text or import Harry Potter into it, for example, right? So.
Another thing that's quite popular is trying to make a simple version of something like an Alexa or a Google Home. So one of these sort of virtual assistants, these smart assistants. So what they do is, to oversimplify it, but what these things do is they've been trained to recognize commands. So I get the kids to think of a few examples of commands that they would want their Alexa to recognize. And normally you just pick a couple of devices and say, well, turn that on and turn that off. And then get them to fill those examples, to fill those buckets with examples of how you would give the command. Turn that off. Please, can you turn that off? I'd like that off now. Would you mind switching that off for me? You know, they only need five or six examples to get it to work. And then they can actually make for themselves a functioning AI-powered smart assistant that can recognize the meaning of their commands and take some action.
That's absolutely amazing. So let's maybe now switch to images, right? So, I mean, the examples I came up with is, for example, they could try to recognize faces, for example, right? Or maybe different bikes or if the parking is taken. But what is the best example you have for when it comes to image ML model?
I think, again, sort of one of the first ones I did that I still quite like is rock, paper, scissors. So they hold their hand up to the webcam and take a photo of their hand, making the rock, paper, or scissors shape. So there's three buckets. They're filling with three different types of pictures. They train a machine learning model so that when they hold their hand to the webcam, it can recognize the shape of their hand and know what they're doing. And then essentially what they're doing is they're making an AI-powered game to play rock, paper, scissors against them. And it's quite nice. It's really simple. They only need 10 or so photos of their hands. It's pretty easy. It works really well because the hand shapes are distinct enough that it tends to do a really good job.
I find it super, super amazing, right? Because these are really things that, I mean, most developers these days actually would actually fail to create an ML model for that, right? And you can now create it on a website that's intended for kids learning. It's amazing, really. let's step into numbers. What are the typical examples that you're doing with numbers here?
Games tend to work well with numbers. Any game that has like coordinates. So Pac-Man is a really, I mean, not just even in ML for kids, but Pac-Man has been an absolute staple in the AI community for decades. So there have been, you know, like academics where sort of university level students are learning about AI. They'll compete to see who can make the best Pac-Man that's able to do the best job of playing the game Pac-Man. So it's a really, because it's a nice constrained space, it's got a really clear goal that you can train it. You can measure the performance, you know, to tell a machine learning model, you want examples of what's good and what's bad. So video games are really good at that because they have scores and they have well-defined rules. So what the kids will do as a really simplified version of that, they'll make in Scratch a simple Pac-Man game and then play the game themselves. They'll use the arrow keys to control Pac-Man to avoid the ghosts. And then as they're doing it, what they're doing is every move they make is getting added into the training examples. You know, when the Pac-Man is in the bottom left and the ghost is in the top right, and maybe they decide, well, I'm going to go up. That's an example of a move. And they can use all of their moves to train a machine learning model. So when they've collected enough examples, they put the machine learning model they've trained in charge of Pac-Man, and they just sit back and watch it play. And they've sort of taught it how to play the game.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's impressive to see how when the AI takes over, it's playing the way they did. So like two children sat next to each other who've played the game in different ways, who've trained their own Pac-Man AIs in different ways. They'll both reflect the training that they gave. So it's really interesting to see. But loads of games work like that, like Noughts and Crosses. It's another game with 9 spaces on a grid, so it trains really easily. So, and the nice thing is by letting kids train an AI to play a game, like I say, it means they can sort of step back and watch the AI do the job, so they can sort of just see it run by itself. They can see how it reflects the training they gave it. But they also learn lots of other lessons because it's not just a one-off thing. Like they'll give it a little bit of training and then they'll watch it play and they'll see it's really, really bad. You know, it makes lots of mistakes. So they'll give it a bit more training. They'll give it more examples and then they'll try it again and they'll see that it's getting a bit better. And then they'll go back and they'll give it lots more examples and they test again. And this time it's doing really, really well. So they learn about behaviors of machine learning technologies, like the fact that the amount of training data has a really strong correlation with how good the machine learning model is. So yeah, they sort of stumble onto a lot of these really useful lessons about how we develop these technologies.
Yeah, and they stumble upon them pretty naturally, actually, and with lots of fun. So the last section that we had here was sounds, but I guess we talked already about the Alexas, right? I mean, trigger words are like the poster child, I guess, for that.
Yeah, voices are a good one. Sound ones are a tricky one, just because a lot of the places where the ML for Kids stuff is used is in schools. So sounds can be a challenging one because if you've got 30 children all training their own projects, so they're all shouting at their computer, it's the background noise makes it really challenging. So it's tricky to do, but I've seen schools use it where they have, you know, each child has got their own headset. So and with a decent mic, you can do some really cool projects.
You kind of answered that question already, but how much training data do you typically need for each of these models? So my example here was a model, for example, that's recognizing kids in the classroom, right? So there would be two states, kids are in the classroom and kids are not in the classroom, an empty classroom. So how much training data would you typically need for such an ML model?
For something like that, I wouldn't have thought too many. 10 examples of each would probably cover it. I mean, it's a hard one to guess because it's often difficult to know exactly what patterns the machine is going to latch onto. I mean, definitely the more examples, the better it does. There are some projects where the number of examples gets quite high. I've seen Noughts and Crosses sometimes, you know, if you're always making the same type of move, so the amount of variation in your training data isn't very high, It takes a while, but I've seen classes do some really creative things to work around that. So one common thing I've seen do is instead of each student in the class training their own personal machine learning model, they work together. So, you know, if you think of like playing a Noughts and Crosses game, instead of one student training their own model by playing, 90 games of Noughts and Crosses, a class of 30 children can play 3 games each and collect the same amount of training data, but in a fraction of the time. So I've seen classes where they work together to, they're all contributing their training examples. And then as a class, they can come up with hundreds and hundreds of examples in the lesson. And they train an amazingly good machine learning model as a result. And that's another really good lesson to learn as well, because that's what we do in industry in the real world. You know, we very rarely have AI projects where it's trained by one individual person. We crowdsource it, or we get a large number of people to contribute it, or you even automate it. You know, how many times have you been on a website where it's asked you to prove you're a human or something, and you click on a couple of things, and what you're doing is contributing training data to a massive worldwide project with billions of training examples from people around the world.
What I really like is that the trained models can then not only be used to test it out on ML for Kids, but you can also hook it up to Scratch, right? You can integrate with Scratch, and the kids then can actually use it as part of their Scratch program. So can you describe a bit how this integration looks like and how do you set it up?
Yeah, so when you've trained a model, that model is represented as a new block in Scratch. So Scratch has this sort of toolbox, this palette of blocks representing all the different programming concepts and fundamentals. So what I do is I extend that. I add additional blocks in there representing the different types of thing you can do with a machine learning model. And like you say, on the one hand, this is great because it means kids don't have to learn a whole new platform, because most schools and classes I've worked with, they're already really familiar with Scratch. It's a platform they're comfortable with, they're familiar with. So it reduces the barrier to them getting started, because even if they haven't used exactly Scratch, they've used that idea of block-based programming, visual programming, snapping blocks together. So they can sort of almost forget about that and just jump to doing something creative and thinking what it is they want to create with their AI model. I think the other benefit is, because I could have just created a whole new separate programming environment, but I think it sends a really good message to kids by extending Scratch that machine learning isn't going to replace coding, because it's really important that we don't give them the impression that, well, they don't need to learn how to code because in the future machines will learn how to do everything, or coding isn't important now because we've got AI, because, you know, that's absolutely not the case. But trying to portray it as, this is just another tool in your toolbox. It's extending the range of things we can do with coding. You know, it allows us to do more interesting, more powerful things with coding than we could do before. I think it's a really nice, subtle message to get across of, it's really useful to learn coding, but here's an extra thing you can do with it.
Another thing that I saw is that you can integrate ML for Kids with the MIT App Inventor, which is a tool to create mobile apps. So that really means that the kids can create, let's say, an Android app, for example, right? And they can probably use the camera to snap a picture of something, and then the ML model recognizes if it's a flower. So can you explain how that works, and also, you know, how difficult it is to set it up maybe?
Yeah, so I mean, I can't take the credit for this bit. So one of the things I did really early with Machine Learning for Kids was open sourced it. So all the source code for the training tool and how this all works is on GitHub. And there was a couple of guys from the United States, Kyle Corey and Joe Mazzoni, from a high school in the US, basically added in the capability, like you say, that to have App Inventor, which is another visual coding tool that produces Android apps, as an option to the site. So it's fantastic of them. You know, they did virtually all the work for it. But what it lets you do is all the stuff I can do in Scratch of making a project using a machine learning model, you can do as a tablet app or as a phone app. And it's a really nice way of trying to, because once they've made their app, they can get up and walk around with it. You know, they can take it out into the playground, they can take it out into the garden, they can, and particularly that works really well with the apps that use image machine learning models. They can use the camera on the phone to take a picture of something, and then the AI model they've trained will recognize what's in that picture. So it helps make it a bit real. It helps make it not something that you use sat at a computer, but that you can get up and move around with.
Yeah, it also probably really helps with some more active kids, for example, to get them out into the, well, not woods, but at least into the park, right, and do something in a physical space. So can you give us a couple of examples? What kind of apps got created?
Yeah, I mean, so that's a really common one of going out. So I've seen lots of projects that schools have done around recognizing different types of plants or different types of flowers, or recognizing the shape of tree leaves to tell what type of tree it is based on a photo of the leaf. So yeah, those sorts of like science projects and natural world projects are really, really popular.
Then a final way to use these ML models with ML for Kids is, I think, via Python. So that's then real textual programming, but not saying that visual programming is any way worse or so, right? It's just different. So would you say that the Python programming is then for the advanced kids, or when would you, how would you introduce kids to Python programming and ML?
Yeah, there was definitely more of a demand for that from the older schools. So when I started out, I was working mainly with primary schools, so children up to around about 11 years old. And I was getting a lot of contact from teachers who were working with like 14, 15-year-olds saying that they liked the idea of doing AI, they liked the idea of doing machine learning, but they didn't, that they weren't using visual programming languages in school, so it didn't really fit with them. And the most common request by far was for Python. That seems to be a common thing in schools. So I don't have as many Python projects, and I'm still sort of trying to develop how that works in the site. So the most recent developments, I've now got it so that you can do all the Python programming in the browser. So that, because it, some of the early versions, you needed to download dependencies and have the right libraries, and it all got a bit fiddly to set up. So now that I've removed that, so you can do it all in the browser, I'm hoping that that makes it a bit easier. It's interesting. I think there's lots of potential to do, particularly mixing it up with other sources of data or other devices. You know, when you can do it in, you're not limited to the range of blocks that you have in Scratch, it opens up quite a lot of potential.
So the one thing that I really like on that website on ML for Kids is the worksheet section, because it has lots of detailed lesson plans. It actually has so many lessons plans that I came up with the question of which one would you recommend a teacher or a parent who wants to get started with it to prepare the kids, basically. What would you recommend here? So which is the classical example to get started with ML for Kids?
So I've mentioned the sentiment analysis one. That tends to be one that a lot of people start with. After that, for the image projects, I quite like the ones that involve a photo of your face. But some schools, in some environments, it's difficult to get permission to take photos of children. So for schools where that's a challenge, something like the Postman worksheet, which is where you're learning about handwriting recognition. So in this project, what you do is you write a postcode, you write a zip code onto an envelope, and you train a machine learning model to recognize the different shapes of the letters you're writing, so that when you write on the letter, the little envelope goes to the right sorting office sort of thing. And it's a really nice example, because that is a simplified version of how large-scale sorting offices really do work. So by making it into a game they can do themselves, that works really well. Other projects I've seen, so all of the projects on the site are available as Word documents. And that was because that seems to be what most teachers are happy with. And because I shared the Word documents as well as the PDF version, loads of teachers will take the Word document I've come up with as a starting point and then customize it. And what I think works really well is if you can make it something that's relevant to the class or to the children. So like I've got a project that's based around making a chatbot. Introduces what the idea of a chatbot is. But I've seen schools do so many variations of that, you know, whatever subject they're doing in class at the moment. So if they're doing Romans, then they'll make the project about making a chatbot about a Roman, and they'll make a little avatar, a little character in Scratch that is a Roman. And you ask it questions like, well, what are your clothes made out of? And what did you eat? And that sort of thing. And they're doing, and that project is, there's history because they had to do research. There's art because they had to draw their Roman character. There's some animation in there. And there's AI that got it to recognize the question and give the answer. But that AI is just a single strand of actually something that cross cuts and covers all the different subjects and is relevant to the subject they're currently doing in class. So although I think the worksheets are a great jumping off point, what I think is great and what I love seeing is how teachers have really changed it and customized it and made it their own.
Is there anything coming up when it comes to ML for Kids, or anything you're really looking out or forward to in 2020 or early next year that you'd like to mention?
There's sort of two things that I'm working on at the moment. Firstly, you hear a lot in AI circles about black box, this idea that you train a computer to do a job and then it does that job for you, but you've got no idea why it's done that, why it's made the decision that it has. And it's something that in the industry, it's a real challenge that we're facing, you know, because people don't want something that works as a black box. They want to know why the computer has come up with the decision that it has. So I wanted to try and reflect some of that in MR for Kids and to try to give some kids some insight into what's going on under the hood. So I've done that with numbers projects. So when you train a machine learning model, as well as letting you use it in Scratch, the site gives you an interactive visualization of how that machine learning model works. And you can sort of give it test values and it sort of highlights what part of the model is being used and how the different parts are working together. I'd really like to do something like that for other types of projects, for text projects, for image projects. So I'm looking at that. The other thing I'm working on a lot is there are some machine learning projects that wouldn't be feasible for a child to collect the amount of training data they'd need. So some really, really complex tasks that I still think would make interesting projects, but that isn't really practical for classes to train for themselves. So I've started building out a section of the site with some pre-trained models, some machine learning models that have got tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of training examples that they can just pick up and use straight away so that they can do some sort of more advanced, some more fun things. So the ones I've got so far, the most recent one I added was face detection. So given a video feed, like from your webcam, it will recognize where a face is in that picture and be able to identify, well, that's probably with your eyes and that's probably where your nose is and that's probably where your mouth is. And there's all sorts of fun games you can make with that. So if you think of the kinds of filters that you see in like messaging apps, it means you can build something like that for yourself.
So Dale, thank you so much for this interview. It's already over. We could actually talk on for forever, I guess. It was great to hear about ML for Kids, really, and wish you all the best for the future. Let's hope that Corona is over soon. And thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Machine learning is one of the hottest tech trends these days. Machine learning for kids enables our children to learn about this important technology that often is already part of our daily lives. Head over to kidslab.dev to check out the show notes with all the links of this episode. And of course, don't forget to subscribe now if you don't want to miss a future one. In the next episode, we'll talk to Lorraine Underwood about her book Save the World with Code. It includes practical projects for kids and their parents using the popular BBC Microbit, Raspberry Pi, and Adafruit Circuit Playground.